Kansas City Chiefs break a 50-year drought. I was 1 month old when Hank Stram and Len Dawson marched into the last Super Bowl we were in. I don't remember much from that game, as you can imagine. So I'm looking forward to this one. This has been an incredible season, full of ups and downs. Remember back when Mahomes got hurt? Tell you what, there were more converts to prayer that week in Kansas City. There were atheists down on their knees that week. Oh Lord, let him come back. The last win of the season to get home field advantage to the playoffs. Two tough playoff games. An offense that when it finally gets rolling is pretty hard to stop. And now it all comes down to this, the Super Bowl. One game to determine the best team in the NFL for the 2019 season. And our Chiefs are in it. The anticipation is killing me. I really wish the game had been this Sunday. Last week when they won, weren't you like, "Oh, let's go!" And we get to this Sunday and you're like, "Oh, it's not this week. Another whole week." Didn't used to be that way. Used to be that the Super Bowl was played the week after the AFC and NFC championships. But back in 2003, they changed that. They made it 2 weeks. And there was a couple reasons for it. They knew that it would give teams more time to prepare. Gives the players a little break so they can recover from injuries. Especially when you've played, you know, last week when our Chiefs played, it was, about 5 degrees on the field while they played? That bangs you up pretty good. So having an extra week off, that's nice. Let all those bruises heal, get back in top condition. It also gives the NFL the opportunity to promote the game more. They get to build the anticipation now because they have a whole another week for advertisements, for promotions, for all of this stuff to get us ready for the Super Bowl. So we have to wait for another week. I don't know if we can make it. Waiting's hard. I am the worst waiter in the world. I am impatient. I have trouble waiting at red lights. I have to wait a week to see the Chiefs play. Truly, the most envy I've ever had for somebody was when Bob Pape was the fire chief of Merriam. He had a button in his car he could push to change the light from red to green. So if he was going to a fire, he could change all the lights. I have never been more envious of somebody than I was of that toy. I was like, I need one of those. I hate waiting. We don't wait well, right? We don't like it. We're uncomfortable when we're just waiting. When nothing's going on, when we're sitting there with nothing to do, we've filled our world with distractions and noise, we've pushed out things like quiet time and lulls. We always have something in front of us that's trying to engage us. We don't like waiting. It's that anticipation. It pushes us and makes us uncomfortable. It's a tension-filled moment. Where we are now, but waiting on that thing that's not yet. On that thing that's about to happen. On the thing that's coming. On the thing that's almost here. We just went through a whole season of anticipation. That's what Advent is all about. Anticipation of what is coming. The Christ child is coming. Advent is the time to anticipate that and get ready for it. We know the child is coming, so we get our hearts ready to receive him when he finally does. Advent is all about existing in that anticipation, living in that moment between the now and the not yet, because our faith tells us the not yet is right there. It's right around the corner. And so we wait like school children on Christmas Eve. our hearts full of joy and wonder, our breath held in, that maybe we might hear the patter of reindeer feet on the roof and know that the moment has finally arrived. We exist in that anticipation for Advent, prayerfully and purposefully getting ready, because we know that Jesus is coming. Advent's anticipation forces us to review our life and our path. Have we been good boys and girls this year? During this time of tension, waiting for what is about to happen, we're cognizant of ourselves a little bit more. We act a little better during that season, a little more charitable, a little more graceful. That's why we love the Advent season so much. While we wait, we're nicer to each other, kinder. And that glimpse of God's kingdom in our now is encouraging. I had a professor in seminary that championed the idea that the Apostle Paul, all of his writings, all of his letters, existed in a tension between the now and the not yet. He believed Paul's theology was caught in this tension. Rejoicing in the now. Jesus has come. Jesus has lived. Jesus has died. Jesus has risen again. But also waiting in hopeful, joy-filled anticipation of the not yet, Jesus is coming again. Everything Paul did, he lived his entire ministry within this tension. He believed every day when he got up and put on his clothes and got ready to go out and preach the gospel, Paul believed in his heart, truthfully, that Jesus was coming today. If not today, probably tomorrow, end of the week at the latest. And he lived his whole life, his whole ministry like that. His writings, his preaching, his letters all reflect that tension that he's held in. There's no time to lose. Paul was always pushing and pushing and pushing. We don't have time because Jesus is coming again today. So we have to change today. When Paul exhorts his followers that there is no Greek or Jew, there is no male or female, there is no slave or free, it's a radical transition that he's proposing on society, but he doesn't have time to wait. We have to change now. He preaches this bold equality in God's kingdom because we have to hear this today. Because Jesus will be here, if not today, by tomorrow. The kingdom is coming any moment. When he charges his followers to clothe themselves in love, to do all things in word or deed for the glory of God, it's because Jesus is coming. We must change now. This tension is Paul's guiding principle. His faith is built on this tension. And the anticipation is just killing him. But that tension is where we exist in our world. Jesus did not come back in Paul's lifetime. That was 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years of war and discovery. 2,000 years of conflict and chaos. 2,000 years. And yet here we are, still waiting and waiting and waiting. We live in that tension that Paul understood. That tension is our everyday. We exist perpetually between the now and the not yet, between Jesus has risen and Jesus will come again. We are the bridesmaids. In the parable that Jesus tells, we are the bridesmaids waiting, waiting, waiting for the groom to arrive. Some of us are filled with that anticipation, and it pushes us to act. We don't want our oil lamps to run out of oil, so we go out and we get more oil. Yes, we probably have some time, but we're not going to wait. He could come at any moment. We want our lamps to be full. But some have become distracted, disinterested, bored. Some have laid their heads down and gone to sleep. Yes, yes, they know that he is coming. But who knows when that will be? Their lamps lie empty, and they slip out of the tension between the now and the not yet. They get comfortable. We all do from time to time. We get comfortable in our everyday, in our routine, in our daily life. We take our eyes off the door. We stop watching. We stop anticipating him at any moment. But the end of his parable, Jesus says, keep awake. For you know neither the day nor the hour. Be ready. Jesus is coming. We are called to exist within that tension, within that anticipation, within that moment between the now and the not yet. We exist there in that tension-filled moment, and that tension should make us alert. It should make us mindful. We don't have much time, so we must live each moment for God in this tension. It is here in the tension where we are caught between Jesus is risen and Jesus will come again that we bring forth glimpses of the kingdom of God, where we shine our light on God so that others can see him. Filled with anticipatory witness, we should seize every moment to share God's love and grace, because our faith tells us we don't have long to do it. Jesus is coming back any minute. We can't wait. We have to love one another now. We have to forgive one another now. We have to help one another now. Because Jesus is coming. It is within this tension that our world exists. We have seen Jesus come. He has lived. He has died. He has risen from the tomb. And now we wait in hopeful anticipation that he is coming again. But we don't know when. So we have to get ready. We have to be prepared. We have to fill our oil lamps. So now is the moment to be Christ's disciples. Now is the moment to be kind and generous and grace-filled. Now is the moment to reach out and heal someone, comfort someone, lift someone up. Isaiah tells us the people who walked in darkness, that's us, have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. God's light has shined on us. We saw it. Sitting there in the darkness, we saw the dawn break. We saw that first glimmer of light on the horizon, and now we are just chomping at the bit for the rest of it. Let the sun rise and fill the sky. Let it flood the darkness with God's light. Let it drive the darkness away forever. We saw the light, and now we are ready for daybreak to come, and we wait for it. And wait for it. May we wait faithfully. in that tension because we don't have time to get comfortable. We don't have time to sleep because Jesus is coming. And the anticipation